Hello, I'm an announcer. I'm not a member of the Monty Python team pretending to be an announcer because they're far too busy cashing in with blockbuster movies. And anyway, the very idea of demeaning themselves in a mere recording studio is a real piss-off to them. In fact, they couldn't even be bothered to come in and record this announcement. So, this quality record has been hastily cobbled together for a fast buck from things that were never good enough to get on any other Monty Python LP. But you've gone out and bought it, so who's the mug?
Here comes
I'm so worried about what's happening today in the Middle East, you know. And I'm so worried about the baggage retrieval system they've got at Heathrow. I'm so worried about the fashions today. I don't think they're good for your feet. And I'm so worried about the shows on TV that sometimes they want to repeat. I'm so worried about modern technology. I'm so worried about all the things that they've done in the city. I'm so worried about my hair falling out at the state of the world today. And I'm so worried about being so full of doubt about everything anyway. I'm so worried about everything that can go wrong. I'm so worried about whether people like this song. I'm so worried about this very next verse. It isn't the best that I've got. I'm so worried about whether I should go on or whether I shouldn't just stop. I'm so worried about whether I ought to have stopped. Worried about the baggage retrieval system they've got at Heathrow. I'm so worried about whether I should have stopped.
Morning, Mrs. Particle.
Morning, Mrs. Velocity.
Been shopping?
No, I haven't got time to leap about the place on one leg all day.
You don't have to do that to go shopping.
Whoa, I'm sorry. I thought you said hopping. I must have partial auditory antisibilance.
What's that?
It's a disease I just invented.
You don't invent diseases, they are discovered.
Like Africa.
You can't catch Africa. You'd have to be enormous to harbour such an infection. To catch Africa would require a woman 16 times the size of Jupiter.
Well, if she were that big, at least she wouldn't have to go shopping.
Why?
Gravity. It would all be drawn towards her.
Ooh, I wouldn't like that. It would remove all the element of choice.
Well,
Well, according to Mrs. Quasar, you wouldn't need to be that big. You could be much smaller and ease shopping drudgery if you shopped at speeds approaching the speed of light.
E equals MC squared, Mrs. Particle. If you shopped at those speeds, a small carton of cat litter would become as heavy as Birmingham and a million times smaller than an ant's footprint. Everything you bought would just fall through the trolley.
They'd have built special electromagnetic shopping trolleys by then.
Well, what's it matter?
Condensed energy.
I beg your pardon?
That's what matter is.
I think whatever you're on is wearing off, Mrs. Particle.
Yes. Fancy a line?
No, thank you. I wouldn't give that stuff to our cat.
Well, your cat won't so much sniff at anything that isn't pure base. It must cost you a fortune.
Well, you can talk. $8,000 worth of smack twice a week for a stray Labrador.
Why does it need so much?
Well, if you ask me, I think it is a malaise common to many in our society who, lacking outdated religious or political motivations, find themselves without a sense of purpose, unable as they are to comprehend the necessarily slow but steady progress of the collective consciousness of humankind towards a state of enlightenment, get themselves zonked up to the eyeballs on drugs, and it's hooked.
Disgusting!
I think we're too thick to cope with ourselves.
Speak for yourself.
I thought I just did. Pass the quaaludes.
There's a man we call our leader. He's fine and strong and brave. And we'll follow him unquestioning towards an early grave. He gives us hope of sacrifice and the chance to
impressive, eh?
Yes.
Oh, yes. We are a thoroughly trained suicide squad.
Oh.
Oh, yes, we can commit suicide within 20 seconds.
20 seconds?
You don't believe me?
Yes.
I think you question me.
No.
I can see you do not believe me.
No, I do.
Enough. I prove it to you. Squad!
Hail the leader!
Commit suicide!
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1.
See?
Yes.
I think now you believe me, yes?
Yes, very impressive.
I think now I prove it to you, huh?
Yes.
All dead?
Yes.
Not one living?
No.
See?
But they died a hero's death, and their names will be remembered forever. Helmut, Johnny, the little guy, the other fat one. Their names will be remembered eventually, forever.
Wait a minute. There's somebody here who's not dead. There's somebody here who's only pretending to be dead. Stand up, you.
Who said ow?
You're not dead either. Neither are you.
I'm not dead either.
Stand up.
Nor do I.
Stand up, all of you. Stand up. Oh, my heck. Is there not even one dead?
No, sir. Not one.
Why not?
Thought it was a practice, sir.
But all the bleeding and the groaning.
Little secreted sheep's bladders, sir.
Oh, my cock. Sheep bladders?
Sorry, sir.
Tomorrow, as a punishment, you will all eat pork sausages!
Oh, no.
Men forward!
Hail Leader!
Rummaging around in my attic, I found, after all these years, a thing with a very strange handle. A bottom, a top, and some ears. A neck, a chin, and some thingies. Some doingses, all done the same, with a wonderful what-have-you and a gorgeous what's-his-name. Its hoojimaflip was a beauty. What do you call 'em's a fantastic job. It's surely the finest that I've ever seen. A genuine thingamibob. I took it downstairs and I washed it. You know, really gave it a clean. And showed it to people, like, often, and often they were a bit mean. But I was quite happy just looking and now and then polishing it. But me gran bashed me grandad with it over the head and he died and they took it. Tough shit.
Spare 10p for a cup of Horlicks, sir.
I'm sorry?
Oh, all right, sir. Spare 10p for the Fairholmes.
Go away.
Sir, spare a tenner for a bottle of champagne, sir.
What?
Spare a tenner for a bottle of champagne, sir. For a powerful young psychopath.
Psychopath?
Yes, sir, a poor, huge psychopathic youth who's not only short of money, sir, but almost completely unable to control his murderous impulses, sir.
Oh, well, What is it?
Oh, I feel it building up, sir. Oh, dear.
What?
Oh, senseless violence. Oh, another dreadful outburst is on its way, I fear. Oh, sorry, sir. Quick, give me some cash, sir, quick. Oh, quick, sir. Is there anything else, sir?
Oh, all right. There you are.
Here comes the red mist. Shit. Quick, sir, quick.
Well, there's some more. Take it. Go on.
Sir, sorry, sir.
What?
There isn't enough, sir. Oh, I really am sorry, sir. This won't do any good at all, sir. Quick, give me some more, sir.
Well, how much?
Oh, this is a bad one. Oh, you better give me everything. You've got to be on the safe side with this one, sir.
All right, take this. Take Barclay cards.
Oh, yes, sir, I'm really sorry. Oh, it had to be you that caught an attack like this. Oh, mate, give me the traveller's ticket, sir.
All right, take my watch as well.
Oh,
there you are.
Yeah. Oh, quick, you better up it, sir. Quick, I'll be off to all right. Hold it off for a few seconds, I think, sir. Quick, up it, sir, quick. Now, there's still time. Oh, it's better. Oh, and the best thing about it is, it's totally uncurable.
Arriving at Olympic headquarters today are the British shopping team who hope to get shopping accepted as an Olympic sport. And they're led by Mrs. Elsie Has-No-Name from Dover, the former South of England all-comers, all-goers, all-stick-it-in-a-basket-and-pay-for-it-later shopping champion who specialises in cut-price food and toothpaste offers. And she's accompanied by Mrs. Elsie Thigh, Britain's captain, who broke into international shopping accidentally when she bought 400 tons of slightly soiled rubberware against the Japanese in Soho in 1977. I spoke with their trainer, Nobby Pules, and asked him just how high is the standard of British shopping. Nobby, just how high is the standard of British shopping?
Well, very high indeed, Ron. And we feel that with a bit of extra training, we can raise their shopping to Olympic standards.
But they still buy rubbish.
Oh, they still buy rubbish, but they buy it very, very fast.
Who do you fear most at the moment?
Well, a girlfriend's husband.
No, I mean in shopping.
Oh, in shopping. Well, the Germans certainly a strong shopping side. They use their baskets well, and of course their currency is very strong. But despite inflation running against them, the English are very hard to beat on the arguing and the gossiping.
Nobby, the very best of luck.
Thank you, Ron.
Mrs. Martinez.
Martinez?
I'm sorry. Mrs. Martinez.
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 Yes,
Martinez. 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 Mrs. Martinez.
Which way do you say it then?
I said it like Martinez.
Oh, yes, that's right.
How do you rate the Germans?
Well, I shopped against the Germans in Barcelona and lost by 4 tons.
There's been some talk of a boycott.
I mean, I've trained for 50 years for this event, and I think politicians should be hung upside down in a bucket of iced water and have their ankles burned.
Well, Mrs. Elsie Martinez sounding in very strong form there. Well, let's have a look back now at the last time the English and the Germans met. It was at the European Finals in Munich, and your commentator is, as usual, well over the top.
Hello and welcome to a crowded Marienplatz here in Munich for the big shop. And the shock news is that Mrs. Elsie Gruber, the German second-hand goods champion, has been found to be a man. Good news for her, but bad news for John Motson, who spent the evening with her last night. Well, the ladies are having a last look at their shopping list now. And they're under starter's orders. And they're off and into the supermarket, but one of the Germans, Mrs. Elsie Schweitz, is going into the chemist. An interesting variation there. And there they are now, shopping away. And just look at Yak of England. She's spotted the pineapple chunks reduction, and she's really putting them away into the basket, one after the other. There they go, piling up. Mrs. King is haggling. I think we'll see a lot of this in the British team. And Yak of England has left the shop. Where's she going? She's broken from the field. She's going into Spitzbergenstrasse. And notice how the other British ladies have started gossiping to try and help Yak's break there. And Yak has found a cut-price butcher's, a very good find, especially in Germany, where butchers tend to standardise their prices. Very difficult to spot a bargain there. And that must put Britain in a strong position. Well, the Germans can't possibly catch up unless... What's happened? Here's Elsie Schweitz of Germany. Elsie Schweitz from Dortmund, 81, a shopper all her life, and she's bought the chemists. She's bought the entire shop. She has acquired the lease. And this is quite fantastic, extremely fantastic. And there it is, an outright win at the very last minute for Elsie Schweitz of Germany. The tills will certainly be ringing in the shops of Dortmund tonight.
Well, a brief look back there at that exciting final.
Hello, this is the announcer again. As none of the Monty Python team have turned up yet, we are unable to finish this sketch. Thank you.
Well, the results are coming thick and fast off the teleprinter now. Here's the big news from the Midlands. In the League Cup, second round, second leg, West Bromwich Albion 1, Coventry City 6,986. So West Brom go through there on aggregate. The result of a friendly match, Sheffield United married Fulham. And now for our big report, let's go over to join Joel Hurstfield with a report on this afternoon's number one game.
Oh, we had a great game here at Goodrill this afternoon when Manchester Rovers thrashed Sheffield Thursday by 2-1, and the Canada game satellites will soon be beaming to California. Thursday started fast and poof. A London 23 international Arlo Fitch went close with a grand 20-yard left footer folly after a spot of London Palladium-type ball jodding by majestic £450,000 right-winger Ernie Good, newly signed from Pompey and doing very nicely too, thank you. But Rovers took the lead when the educated feet, a tricky 5'2" ball-playing, bow-legged ex-commander, £1.5 million inside right, Cyril Overcraft Wacket beat two men and lamed a third before laying on the kind of chance Ted Buzzard don't miss. But Thursday equalised through Skipper for Descartes, oh so cool penalty, actually awarded against Ginger Truck for gouging. In second half, play got a bit rough. And after a nasty goalmouth incident which made the Battle of Britain look like an afternoon tea party, Rovers hard tackling ex-brick layer right off its sprat was badly bitten, and Sid Iron Man Hawkins had to leave field with loss of memory. While Flaxon here, top of the Football League scoring list, Alf Snakeips Ramsbottom got his marching orders from referee Barclay of Billingham. Both Rovers were well on top. And their £4.7 million star-studded Bank of England forward line of Bun, Wacket, Buzzard, Stubble and Boot tore great holes in Rovers defence before in 86 minute a sharpshooter Bobby Cannonball Stubble magicked his way through Thursday defence before slamming a great 20-yarder past concussed Thursday goalie Lofty Crab with his fractured left foot, and now I return to the studio in London.
Talking Science, introduced as usual by Dr. Louis Yeti Goose Creature.
Good evening. In the last 164 programmes, I've been trying to tell you a little about that thread of life which we scientists call DNA, or deoxyribose nucleic acid. All together?
Deoxyribose nucleic acid.
Good. Now, DNA is the genetic unit. That is a kind of code which controls the way in which each individual cell is formed. It's rather like having a lot of building sites linked together by a vast telephone exchange, all controlled by an enormous invisible traffic policeman, which we scientists call P.C. Harris. We have now found a way of altering this DNA molecule in real life. We can, as it were, take DNA and turn it upside down. Or, to put it another way, upside down it can we turn take DNA. This means that we scientists can now change this genetic template of life, and so alter the shape of life itself. Thank you. Obviously, this is important in the field of germ warfare, because we can now produce an almost infinite number of new diseases. We can make germs, or bacteria, G-E-R-M-S, to order. Here in Britain, we have recently made a major breakthrough by producing a new, extremely large germ. A germ so large that it can kill a man by acts of physical violence. We scientists have nicknamed this germ the extremely large germ, but more correctly, we refer to it as the Big Strangler, after Dr. Big Strangler, the biologist. The Big Strangler will also be able to kill people by kneeing them in the head. We hope soon to develop a particularly virulent bacteria which can drive tanks, and a sophisticated form of cholera which goes to the opera twice a week and can choose a decent claret. Thank you. And now I'd like to finish with a song.
Come on, sing up!
When the time for kick-off comes, we'll stand brother to brother.
Waldron, get down off that board!
As we hear Big
Mr. Waldron, please!
Shit out of
Bane, stop sniggering or being chuffed us all through lunch.
Lay up, lay up.
Well, come! Stop that tricksword! It's bad for you and it's bad for the school! Who threw that? Who threw that grenade? Come on! Mortimer, don't smirk. You are a disastrous boy, Shanklin. Even by the standards of the human race, you are a falling boy. Don't try and pretend you're English, Schlattenheimer! Will the boy on top of that other boy, on top of the three boys, on top of Matron, kindly desist?
Lay up, lay up, lay up.
Stop growing up in chapel, Bedworth! Congdon, get your teeth out of Tupperware's neck.
If you've small head wounds, it helps to stem the blood.
Someone has stolen one of Mr. Sanier's testicles. Not a joke, Dempsey. It's a very serious matter. He can't see without them.
And
what? Why didn't you say so?
And hard,
spectacle.
Well,
you're pissed off, are you, Bedwell? I'm pissed off. Man's lot, Bedwell. There's absolutely nothing new about being pissed off. Come and see me in the sauna afterwards.
Lay up! Lay up!
Who wrote Thievat's Boomtown Rats on the War Memorial? Right, Geldof, come here and put your neck in this. Baker, mop that up! Hamwell, Spotter, Corncrake, Swivels, Barter, Op Walsh, and anyone else with a silly name, come and see me afterwards.
So when all is said and done, my...
Spricker! You're supposed to be a Christian!
...to return, if you play the game, honest and true...
You don't spell wank with a C, Marwan. Chorus now, boys! Play up! Play up! Tackle! Come on there, boy! Sing, boy!
Hope and God, select your spot and then put in the hole!
I don't care what it is, Darcy! Take it out of Dankworth's trousers! O Lord, who did create the junior and the senior boy, the day boy and the boarder, grant that those who do not survive the preparatory stage in the school of life may also enter into thy house. Amen. Amen. I'd like to thank the parents of Forbes Beta for taking time off from a busy schedule to attend their son's funeral. As you know, Mr. Forbes Beta is a very busy man in the city and has had to come down specially by private car. And Mrs. Forbes Beta has had to cancel both a luncheon and a hair appointment. I think the school should show their appreciation of this gesture with the usual house yelp. Hum, hum, hum. Woo-hoo! Hum, hum, hum. Woo-hoo! Hum, hum, hum. Woo-hoo! School dismissed. I'd like to see Wanker, Nugget, and Pretty afterwards. In my bath. Study, study, study.
Ah, Mr. and Mrs. Forbes Beta, Sherry?
Thank you very much, headmaster.
He was apparently a first-rate scholar, your boy.
Which one was he?
And you almost certainly have got his house wedged this term.
Was he the sandy haired one?
No, dear, that's Timmy. He's at Eton, I think.
Ah, then he was the rather nice little boy who came round once at Christmas.
No, dear, that was a friend of Nanny's.
I'm sure he would have got into big school and done extremely well.
Was he that awfully irritating little one who used to read books and things?
That's the one.
I never was a great fan of his.
And I've no doubt he would have made Oxford or Cambridge. If not both.
Never mind. We already have one at Cambridge, don't we, dear?
I think so.
Well, I am so very sorry about your son's death, Mrs. Forbes Beta.
Yes, it is a pity.
We don't like to lose boys, if we can possibly help it.
Oh, don't reproach yourself, Headmaster. I'm sure he would have wanted it this way.
Who?
My son.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant God.
No, not God. Stephen.
Simon.
Simon.
Well, this is just a question of the school bill.
Ah, yes. 2,000 guineas.
Yes, it includes the padre's fee for the funeral. I'm afraid we've had to charge you for the term.
Yes, quite.
Obviously, we can't get another boy to fill his place at such short notice.
No, no, no.
And then, of course, you have another son.
Well, I'm not sure. Well, look, we'll ask Nanny when we get home.
Good.
Well, thank you so much, Headmaster. It's been a real pleasure.
Not at all, more sherry?
Thank you.
Oh, thank God.
Many people are really frightened at laughing at people worse off than themselves. They're scared to laugh at the poor or the sick. They somehow fail to see the joke of cripples. They think that tittering at blind people or giggling at the lame is somehow in bad form or in bad taste. They feel that it is insensitive to laugh at the deaf or the deformed, that it is infradig to enjoy a really good joke at the expense of people who are different colours from you, when really there's no harm at all in laughing at funny foreigners or idiots or people worse off than you. Women, for example, are always funny, and you can have a good laugh at old people just as easily, precisely because they are so much nearer death than you. It's healthy to laugh at people with no limbs. Short people, it gets it out in the open. Laughter is the best medicine, and they deserve the best medicine we can give them. So let's laugh at everything more, and everyone more. Look at that git. A complete wanker. Let's laugh at taxi drivers, at chemists. How stupid to be a chemist. How idiotic to be a taxi driver. I mean, what stupid, cretinous behaviour to go to a bank every day and work at it. I mean, how inane to try and write newspapers for a living. I mean, can't they see what's so funny about it? What's the matter with them all? They all mad? Why don't they take it all so seriously? I mean, what the fuck's the matter with them, eh? Can't they take a bloody joke? Ha 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 ha!